Okay, so now we continue our study through the book of Revelation. We're following the Revelation Bible study detailed outline, which can be found at firmfoundationri.com. And we're in section 51, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, the great white throne judgment on point D. So let's read verses 11 and 12 again. And then I saw a great white throne in him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Okay, so we talked about the books containing the works of the unbelievers who are trusting in their own works to get to heaven. Now, they were all disqualified. All these folks are at the great white throne judgment. These are all unbelievers, and they are all disqualified because of sin. And in the judicial sense, one sin excludes somebody from heaven. So whether you're relatively good or relatively bad, humanly speaking, it doesn't matter. With regard to the judicial sense, all sin is the same in result insofar as it excludes somebody from the kingdom of heaven. James chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." Now, even though in the judicial sense all sins are the same with regard to result, not all sins are the same with regard to consequence, that is, degrees of judgment prescribed. So, just as there are degrees of rewards prescribed for the saved that we found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, there are also degrees of judgment prescribed. So this is why it says that the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And in Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 24, we have a reference that can be brought to bear on this subject. "And then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which had done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." So we have degrees of judgments of cities, and by extension, the individuals who lived in those cities, who had that greater degree of revelation which came with Jesus Christ himself preaching there in his first advent. Another passage that deals with differences of, with degrees of judgment as consequence for sin of the unbeliever is found in Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. "And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." So folks who grew up in a Christian nation and were exposed to Bible teaching and had Bibles in their homes are a whole lot more accountable than folks who maybe live out in the middle of nowhere and don't have these things, live on another continent or whatever. But notwithstanding, those folks are not let off the hook. They are still accountable to seek God. God has revealed himself in creation, and if they seek God through creation, according to Revelation chapter 1, then they will receive more revelation. But if they choose not to seek God with the revelation that they have, then they're going to be left to their own depravity. Notwithstanding, those who have more revelation given to them are more accountable. Now, we also have a reference to another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And as a special study, we took a look at this in 11b9 in this outline. And the term Book of Life is determined by the context. There is the Lamb's Book of Life, which is the Book of All the Saved. And then there is the Book of All Living, which is the Book of everybody who's ever lived. And in the Book of All Living, names can be blotted out. And that's the book that we're dealing with here in the context. We're dealing with the Book of All Living. And all of these folks who are at the Great White Throne Judgment are going to have their name blotted out of the Book of All the Living. And what's going to end up happening is that those books are going to match in the end. The Book of All Living and the Lamb's Book of Life. And only the saved are going to have remembrance in heaven. That doesn't mean that the unbelievers will cease to exist. They'll be in some conscious torment down there in hell. But the idea here is that God's legacy is going to be maintained for all eternity in the Lamb's Book of Life, in the Book of All Living, which will match the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 13 reads, "The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works." So, again, these are all unbelievers of all ages. As believers of all ages partook of the first resurrection and had their bodies reunited with their spirit and entered the millennial kingdom, so too these unbelievers will partake of the second resurrection after the 1,000 years. And their bodies are going to be reunited with their spirits. But the only problem with these folks is these folks are heading not for eternal life, but they're heading for the second death. They're headed not for spiritual life, but for the second death, spiritual death. And in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, we read, "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So the second death is the reference to the eternal torment of the reprobates and literal fire. And just as the believers experience two births, physical and spiritual, and one death, physical, unbelievers experience one birth, physical, and two deaths, physical and spiritual. And these unbelievers have been blotted out of the Book of All Living due to the iniquity, because their iniquity was not covered by the blood of Christ due to their willful unbelief. Now, we read here about unbelievers and death and Hades being cast into the lake of fire, and we have a special study here under outline section 51, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, which deals with the reality of eternal hell and the horrors of eternal hellfire. And this passage here that we've just taken a look at is one of the strongest proofs of the existence of these things. Jesus did not omit the truth of eternal hellfire in his own preaching. You know, people don't want to hear that nowadays, especially not unbelievers, because it's convicting. But you know, Jesus in Revelation chapter 9, verses 43 through 48, picks up right where Isaiah left off and the end of his prophetic book in Isaiah chapter 66. And reading from Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 48, listen to the preaching of Jesus Christ, not for the faint of heart. "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Now, God doesn't get any joy in saying things like this. I mean, they're truth, but God wants everybody to repent. That's why he's given us this book and this truth. And it may be that the reality of the horrors of eternal hellfire will bring some folks to repentance for just to get some fire insurance. I mean, we come to him for more than that, but you know what? That's part of that. That's the reality. And some folks today are trying to erase the doctrine of hell. I mean, this is something that has been associated with the Seventh-day Adventists and the Jehovah Witnesses, these concepts of soul sleep, the annihilation of the soul, but also the Churches of Christ have picked up on this, and some other folks who are professing Christians, they don't want to talk about this stuff, and they don't want to deal with eternal hell. So they say, well, the soul will be annihilated, or the soul's going to sleep, and they take a look at verses such as those in the book of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon is talking, musing about the vanity of human philosophy. So they take verses like Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, where Solomon says, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." And they say, well, see, it says here that the dead know nothing, therefore they're annihilated. They can't know anything. They don't have a conscious existence. But that's not what that means at all. We always have to look at the context of our scripture. Now, when Solomon writes the verse before, he says, "But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. But a living dog is better than a dead lion." In other words, in this life, the only hope that we have is in heaven. And the only opportunity to come to God is in this life. And after this, there's the judgment. That's it. So to remove scriptures like that from the context of the book in which they were written is a fatal error. Others take a look at verses like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, which talks about people who are sleeping, and clearly from the context, they're dead. They show their ignorance of the fact. Folks who teach soul sleep teach us that they themselves are ignorant of scripture language, that sleep is a euphemism for bodily death in the New Testament, just as Jesus used it of Lazarus, as it was used of Lazarus in the passage where Jesus comes and raises him from the dead in John chapter 11. And of course, the annihilation of the soul takes it a step further, and they take verses like Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. We can take a quick read of that. Matthew chapter 10 in verse 28, which says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And the folks who are in the annihilation soul sleep camp say, well, see, look at that. The soul is killed in hell. Well, the response is pretty clear, that the destruction is a continual destruction. Jesus said it that way, that there's a flame that goes on forever and ever. And folks who reject the only way of salvation are going to be dealing with that. And we have that right here in Revelation chapter 20 in verse 15. "And anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And so in Revelation chapter 19 and 20 again, a fire burning with brimstone. So this reality of eternal hell is something that we all need to contend with, and we'll continue our special study in the next segment.